Tadashtani. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th canto, The Creative Impetus, with the original Sanskrit, its Roman transliteration, synonyms, translations, and elaborate purports by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Founder Acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Reading from chapter 14, The Forest of Enjoyment, text number 30. So it's prose, and it's a very long verse. I guess we can do the word for word, why not? You want to try it? Please repeat. Yada. When? Pakandibihi. By Pashandis. Godless atheists. Atma vachintahi. Who themselves are cheated. Tahi. By them. Uru. More and more. Vanchittaha. Being cheated. Brahmakulam. The bona fide Brahmanas, strictly following the Vedic culture. Samavasan. Settling among them to advance spiritually. Tesham. Of them. The Brahmanas who strictly follow Vedic principles. Shilam, the good character. Upanayana Adi, beginning with offering the sacred thread or training the conditioned soul to qualify as a bona fide Brahmana. Shrauta, according to the Vedic principles. Smarta, according to the authorized scriptures derived from the Vedas. Karma anustanena, the performance of activities. Bhagavataha, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yakya Purushasya, who is worshipped by Vedic ritualistic ceremonies. Aradhanam, the process of worshipping him. Eva, certainly. Tat Arochayan, not finding pleasure in it due to its being difficult for unscrupulous persons to perform. Shudrakulam, the society of Shudras. Bhajate, he turns to. Nigama Achare, in behaving according to Vedic principles. Ashuddhita, not purified. Yasha, of whom? Mituni bhavaha, sex enjoyment or the materialistic way of life. Kutumba bharanam, the maintenance of the family. Yata, as it is. Vanara yatehe, of the descendant of the society of monkeys or the descendants of the monkey. Okay, so I'll just read the Sanskrit for you. Yada pankan dibhir atma vachintais tar uru vanchinto brahma kulang sama vashangste shang shilam upanayana di shrota smarta karmanushta nena bhagavato Yakya purusha yaradhanam eva tat arochanan Shudra kulam bhajate nigamachare shuddito yasha mituni bhava kutumba bharanam yata vanara jatehe. Translation: the pseudo swamis, yogis, and incarnations who do not believe in the Supreme Personality of Godhead are known as Pashandis. They themselves are fallen and cheated because they do not know the real path of spiritual advancement, and whoever goes to them is certainly cheated in his turn. When one is thus cheated, he sometimes takes shelter of the real followers of Vedic principles, Brahmanas, or those in Krishna consciousness, who teach everyone how to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead according to the Vedic rituals. However, being unable to stick to these principles, these rascals again fall down and take shelter among Shudras, who are very expert in making arrangements for sex indulgence. Sex is very prominent among animals like monkeys, and such people who are enlivened by sex may be called descendants of monkeys. Purport: by fulfilling the process of evolution from the aquatics to the animal platform, a living entity eventually reaches the human form. The three modes of material nature are always working in the evolutionary process. Those who come to the human form through the quality of sattva guna were cows in their last animal incarnation. Those who come to the human form through the quality of rajaguna were lions in their last animal incarnation. And those who come to the human form through the quality of tamagun were monkeys in their last animal incarnation. In this age, those who come through the monkey species are considered by modern anthropologists like Darwin to be descendants of monkeys. We receive information herein that those who are simply interested in sex are actually no better than monkeys. Monkeys are very expert in sexual enjoyment, and sometimes sex glands are taken from monkeys and placed in the human body so that the human being can enjoy sex in old age. In this way, modern civilization has advanced. Many monkeys in India were caught and sent to Europe so that their sex glands could serve as replacements for those of old people. Those who actually descend from the monkeys are interested in expanding their aristocratic families through sex. In the Vedas, there are also certain ceremonies especially meant for sexual improvement and promotion to higher planetary systems, where the demigods are enjoying sex. The demigods are also very much inclined toward sex because that is the basic principle of material enjoyment. First of all, the conditioned soul is cheated by so-called swamis, yogis, and incarnations when he approaches them to be relieved of material miseries. When the conditioned soul is not satisfied with them, he comes to devotees and pure brahmanas who try to elevate him for final liberation from material bondage. However, the unscrupulous conditioned soul cannot rigidly follow the principles prohibiting illicit sex, intoxication, gambling, and meat eating. Thus he falls down and takes shelter of people who are like monkeys. In the Krishna consciousness movement, these monkey disciples, being unable to follow the strict regulative principles, sometimes fall down and try to form societies based on sex. This is proof that such people are descendants of monkeys, as confirmed by Darwin. In this verse, it is therefore clearly stated, Yada vanare jatehe. Om agyana timarandasya gyananjana salakaya chakshur militam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha shri chaitanya manobistang stapitang yena bhutale svayang rupa kadamayang dadati svapadantikang vandeham shri guru shri yuta padakamalang shri gurun vaisnavanscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Raganatang Vitang Tang Sajivang Sadvaitang Savadutang Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sagana Lalita Sri Vishakan Vitangscha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindo Dina Bando Jagatpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namosute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Rade Vrindavanishwari Rishabhanu Sutadevi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha kalpata rubhyascha kripa sindubhya eva cha patitanang pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaurabhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So we are in the discussion between Sukadeva Goswami and Maharaj Parikshit, and Sukadeva Goswami is explaining the discussion that Jat Bharat had with the king about the forest of enjoyment. So we're also living in a forest here in the Belgium Ardennes, and yeah, I mean, at least if I speak for myself, I tend to think that it's a forest of enjoyment. The other day I was looking at this bird, and these birds, they fly very beautifully. The thing is, actually, what these birds are doing, they are killing insects. They are eating. That is why they're generally flying. So it's really not such a nice place, the material world. Like, we have a castle. We have a wonderful heating system. You don't want to know the amount of work that has been put into it and the amount of money. And because of that, we are very comfortable here. The point is that the material world is not really a place for enjoyment. It's, as Krishna says, dukaliyam asashvatam. It's a temporary place, so any arrangement you make, and you got the Ferrari, you got the beautiful wife, you got the children, it's temporary. So some day or other, you know, one of those things will break down or die. And it's full of miseries. Actually, there is not so much enjoyment. We, you know, generally we get sick, we get old, and then we die. That is the nature of the material world. Still, due to the material energy called Maya, we get covered over, and we think that it is actually very enjoyable. This is the nature of the material energy, that it covers us over and makes us think that we are enjoying. It's not really a forest of enjoyment. This is just a kind of a, how shall I say it, ironic way of putting it. We were just reading this verse. I can read some of it again. This is spoken by Sukadeva Goswami. And it's quite critical towards here, so-called pseudo-swamis, yogis, and incarnations. He calls them Pashandis. Pashandi means offender. So, or here is translated as godless atheist. So, Sukadeva Goswami, who is a self-realized soul, he is very clearly explaining the situation that we are in, that the material world is. This is the whole idea of this story that Jat Bharat told the king about the material forest, or the forest of enjoyment. Sukadeva Goswami says, they themselves are fallen and cheated because they do not know the real path of spiritual advancement. So they do not know, and therefore also their followers do not know. When one is thus cheated, he sometimes takes shelter of the real followers of Vedic principles, Brahmanas, or those in Krishna consciousness. Yeah, so the Brahmanas are the priests, and those in Krishna consciousness are the persons who are sincerely following the spiritual path towards liberation of the soul from the material body to the spiritual world, where everybody serves Lord Krishna. So that is what Sukadeva Goswami says. They teach everyone how to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead according to the Vedic rituals. So we have a book called The Nectar of Devotion. It's a very important book. And there Rupa Goswami very clearly explains how to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead according to all the Vedic rituals. It's a summary study that Prabhupada gave us. And in turn, Rupa Goswami also made a summary of all the rules and regulations, and still it's a lot. So we can study that in order to perform our service properly. You should know that we all are very much enthusiastic about chanting Hare Krishna, yet there are 10 offenses against the chanting, and one of the offenses is to blaspheme the devotees who've dedicated their lives in propagating the glories of the holy names of the Lord. So devotees, generally, they do follow these rules of worship. So if you are ignorant of them, or you just ignore them, then devotees might get disturbed. And then in turn, we might get disturbed. The devotee might tell us, Prabhu, you should do it like this, or you should do it like that. And then we might, that they might not have enough sleep and might get disturbed, and there we go, we commit the second offense to the holy name. We blaspheme a devotee who has dedicated his life to propagating the glories of the holy name of the Lord. So these seva aparats, they lead to nam aparat. So therefore these rules of worship, they are actually very important, and therefore we should study this nectar of devotion, and we should try to follow all these rules rather sooner than later. So Prabhupada continues, however, being unable to stick to these principles, these rascals again fall down and take shelter among sudras who are very expert in making arrangements for sex indulgence. So it's quite heavy what Sukadeva Goswami is saying here. Sex is very prominent among animals like monkeys, and such people who are enlivened by sex may be called descendants of monkeys. So, let's just have a look at the purport. By fulfilling the process of evolution from the aquatics to the animal platform, a living entity eventually reaches the human form. Yeah, so there is an important verse from the Varaha Puran, and that explains this a little bit more in detail. And it goes like this: Jalaya nava lakshani stavara laksha vinkshiti krimayo rudra sangyaka pakshinam dasha lakshanam trimsa lakshani pashava chatur lakshani manushaha. So the translation: there are 900,000 species living in the water. So we should know that the verse starts with that. Jalaya nava lakshana. Jal means water, nava means nine, and a lakh means 100,000. So nava lakh, nava lakhs, 900,000. Jala, in the water. There are 900,000 species living in the water. Stavra laksha vimshati. Stavra means standing. And ving, like we are here in Belgium, people speak French. So vin means 20. So here also, ving, it means 20 lakhs. There are, which means 20 times 100,000, 2 million. 2 million stavra, non-moving living entities, such as trees and plants. And then Krimayo Rudra Shankyaka, there are 1.1 million species of insects and reptiles. Rudra is also a name of Lord Shiva, and he's always associated with snakes. So Rudra here is translated as reptiles. And pakshinam dasha lakshanam, 10 lakhs of pakshinams, birds, 1 million birds. As far as quadruples are concerned, there are 3 million varieties, trimsha lakshani pashavaha, and then chatur lakshani manushaha. The manus, the human beings, the mankind, are 400,000, chatur lakh, 4 lakhs. So this in total comes to 8.4 million, if I remember correctly. And I just looked it up on the internet. And they come to about 8.7, the newest count of the scientists, so-called scientists. Of course, here's they have different, they say there's about 2 million different species in the sea, and the rest is living on the land, mainly insects. Here from the Padma Puran, we can see that there is a little bit of a different way they categorize it. First of all, they say there's only 900,000 species living in the water. So they have a little different way how they categorize things. How they exactly do it, I don't know, of course. Here's just a kind of a summary. So which are the 900,000 species living in the water, I do not know. And then they have, like I said, they have the trees. So first, there it seems Prabhupada also many times gives this like an order. Like you have first the water animals, then the tree entities, then comes the insects and reptiles, then the birds, then the quadruples, or the animals with four legs, and then the human beings. So it seems that if there is some... Because Prabhupada sometimes says that Darwin, he took his evolution theory from the Vedas. Of course, the idea that Prabhupada says is that generally the soul goes from lower species to higher species. Still, sometimes Prabhupada also explains that or he indicates that it could also be that it started like that, that you first had the species living in the water, which is what Darwin suggested, and then the trees and like that, insect, reptiles, species of birds. At the same time, we know from Srimad Bhagavatam that Kashyapa Muni, he came on this planet. Some say near the Caspian Sea, which is a similar word. Scientists do say that the mankind started in that area. Generally, they say around Iran, Iraq, which is near the Caspian Sea, and then it went to India. That's their theory. Anyway, according to our information, Kashyapa Muni, he landed there, and he populated the earth. This you can find in the Srimad Bhagavatam in the third canto, if I'm not mistaken. Anyway, it is all it's all quite. Maybe I should say technical, and in the Bhagavatam not so many details are given, because the Bhagavatam is mainly concerned with our welfare. Our welfare means not so much containing to the body, more containing to the welfare of the soul, or the conditioned nature of the soul, and how to get out of the material world. So generally in the Bhagavatam a general idea is given, and the details are not so much there. So, perhaps in other scriptures those are there. So those who want to preach to the so-called scientists, they can study that more. Or they can, they can ask the Bhaktivedanta Institute, still headed up by Drutta Karma Prabhu. And these things are definitely important. Anyway, so Prabhupada, he mentions that that the living entity, if he goes from aquatics through all these different species that I just mentioned, and then he comes to the human form. And Prabhupada mentions in the purport that according to the different modes of material nature, we acquire a human form. And Prabhupada explains that the cow is in sattva guna. So a human being in the mode of goodness, Prabhupada indicates he was in his previous lives a cow. And a person in the mode of passion, he was in his previous life a lion. And a human being who is in the mode of ignorance, he was in his previous life a monkey. Prabhupada continues, he says, in this age, those who come through the monkey species are considered by modern anthropologists like Darwin to be descendants of monkeys. So for me, it's a little bit confusing, or maybe not confusing. It seems that Prabhupada saying that that the persons who come through the monkeys, the soul who comes through the monkey species, those are considered by Darwin to be descendants of monkeys. Of course, Darwin had a little bit of a different idea. He was saying that the actual body of the human beings comes from monkeys. Now, if that is true, I mean, we know from Lord Ramachandra that there were monkeys on this planet. So generally, it is understood that different species can't really mix together. So I don't know if that happened or not. What we do know is that monkeys and humans live together side by side. And those monkeys were quite intelligent. They were not as intelligent as human beings. Still, they were quite intelligent. So that we do know from the Shastra, that monkeys and human beings, they were living together. So perhaps that there the confusion comes from. That Darwin thought that we came from monkeys, since there are, Druta Karmi wrote this book called Forbidden Archaeology, and he says there is a knowledge filter. So many of the artifacts of ancient human culture, they're simply ignored. They are there in museum, and they are just put in the cellar, and they are ignored because they're people are saying, no, it cannot be, because it's not in line with the evolution theory. Therefore, some other, the researcher who found the artifact must have made a mistake, and they just ignore it. So this is called the knowledge filter. They have a theory, and it just doesn't pass their so-called knowledge filter. So, but the artifacts are there. Druta Karma did very extensive research. Although I have to admit that most of the artifacts are from the last century, they are about 100 years old. Still, they're pretty well documented, and all the time there's new finds, and they put back the date of the human origin. It's being put back all the time. It's never being put up. Like, I don't know what the scientists are saying now, but it's going from 100,000 to 200,000 to more and more and more. So Prabhupada, he continues, we receive information here, and that those who are simply interested in sex are actually no better than monkeys. Now that is what Sukadev Goswami is saying. That it's also mentioned in the Bhagavatam, dvipada pashu, two-legged animals. So if we act like a monkey, then we are actually a monkey. And also Prabhupada mentions that the danger will be there. This Prabhupada calls the greatest danger of human life is that we next life become again a monkey. And I just explained, according to Shastra and what Srila Prabhupada explains here, we went through this whole trip from aquatics to tree life, to insect life, to bird life, to animal life, and then to human life. So it's a whole travel we made from all the species. So, you know, we should be mindful of that. We don't want to go there again. Monkeys are very expert in sexual enjoyment, and sometimes sex glands are taken from monkeys and placed in the human body, so that the human being can enjoy sex in old age. In this way, modern civilization is advanced. Yeah, so here Prabhupada also gets a little ironic. And this is, of course, not really advancement. So Prabhupada is a little bit sarcastic here. Many monkeys in India were caught and sent to Europe so that their sex glands could serve as replacements for those of old people. Those who actually descend from the monkeys are interested in expanding their aristocratic families through sex. Yeah, so my understanding what Prabhupada is explaining here, that he's saying the way I understand is that the those who actually descend from the monkeys, Prabhupada means those who were in previous life monkeys. Although, like I said, I don't rule it out that maybe there are some people that are maybe in fact from monkeys. That I don't know. Although it seems hard to believe. But this is the way I understand what Prabhupada is explaining, that people who were in their previous lives monkeys now are very interested in expanding their aristocratic families through sex. In the Vedas, there are also certain ceremonies especially meant for sexual improvement and promotion to higher planetary systems where the demigods are enjoying sex. The demigods are also very much inclined towards sex because that is the basic principle of material enjoyment. Yeah, so Prabhupada, he used to call this polished animal life. He says it doesn't matter if you eat from a golden plate or if you are very rich or, in this case, if you are a demigod. If you simply live life to have sex, then you're no better than an animal. And that's what we see. demigods who are not inclined to the service of the Lord, they simply fall down to the planet Earth, and then generally they fall down to the lower species. This is generally how it goes. So so therefore we have to take to Krishna consciousness. This is the whole point why Sukadeva Goswami is explaining this. So then concluding the purport, first of all, Prabhupada says, the conditioned soul is cheated by so-called swamis, yogis, and incarnations when he approaches them to be relieved of material miseries. So I briefly spoke about the material miseries. There's so many of them, but the main of them are birth, death, old age, and disease. When the conditioned soul is not satisfied with them, those swamis, he comes to devotees and pure brahmanas who try to elevate him for final liberation from material bondage. However, the unscrupulous conditioned soul cannot rigidly follow the principles prohibiting illicit sex, intoxication, gambling, and meat eating. Thus he falls down and takes shelter of people who are like monkeys. Yeah, so this is... I never heard Prabhupada speak so explicit and so, well, I could say critical to people who leave the movement to simply to have sex. Prabhupada calls them unscrupulous conditioned souls. So, yeah, it's difficult. Prabhupada sometimes became despondent when disciples couldn't follow. He said, you know, it might be a little bit heavy, but I heard Prabhupada said this. He said, only a dog cannot keep his promise. So, you know, it's a little difficult, I know, for at least for me also. Still, it's a promise. We make a promise, no illicit sex, no intoxication, no gambling, no meat eating. And Prabhupada says, if you simply follow the process, it becomes actually very easy. So, you know, all of us, like I'm practicing for, or trying to practice for 16 years, if you practice that long, even though it's relatively not so long, then you have ups and downs. The way Sautamaraj explained it is that it's an airplane. So it goes off course, but you keep putting it back on course. That is why Radhades is so nice, and to live in Radhades is so nice, because there is such a nice spiritual program, and Shri Radha Gopinatha here, and all you have to do is come to the temple, and well, basically just show up. Actually, you just be there, and then the purification will come by itself. We discussed it. Rasa Mandala, he many times brought this up automatically, and Radhanath Swami gave a very nice explanation. I hope I'll never forget it. He explained about the way I remember this with beer Krishna. He explained the thing: if you drink 10 beers, then you become drunk automatically. Still, you have to drink the 10 beers to become drunk. So it's the same with Krishna consciousness. You have to chant your 16 rounds and then you'll get the desired result. Still, you first have to chant. So it's a very simple process. To do it is a little bit more difficult. To do it every day, chant 16 rounds, is a little bit more difficult. Still, if you chant the 16 rounds, then it will happen. And the way I understand it, and we can discuss it if you like, is that the mode of goodness is really not an option. We have to come to the mode of goodness. And the way Prabhupada explains it, I was just reading, is that all the different holes of the body, the eyes, the ears, the nose, the mouth, they have to also be in the mode of goodness. So the mouth has to taste Krishna prasadam, the eyes have to see the deity of Krishna like the king. You know, the ears have to hear Krishna katha. So like that, all the eyes of the body, they get purified. So, we do need to come up to that stage. And then there is a higher stage called Sudasattva. So that is how I understand it, that we do have to somehow or other come to the mode of goodness. And like it was mentioned yesterday, the Prabhupada says it many times, Parikshit, he had 7 days. And Prabhupada says, you don't have that luxury. You can die any second. So we should be more serious than Parikshit Maharaj. I mean, I also think that I'm going to live another 40 years. Still, we don't know. And of course, we have a very inspiring example here. Mother Lala Samai, she lived here for many years, and she left her body a few years ago. And she was a wonderful devotee, and all the devotees, including myself, are convinced that she went back to Godhead. So on the one hand, at least if I look at myself, it seems like a mission impossible. At the other hand, if you look at someone like Mother Lala Samai, it's not so difficult. She made it look easy. And I remember when I saw her many, many years ago, I saw her and she took care of Tulsi. And I thought, wow, that's it. You just take care of Tulsi. You don't make any offenses. I just discussed it briefly. And then you go back to Godhead. And it's actually that simple. The main offenses to avoid is the 10 offenses against the Holy Name. And that you can also read the Nectar of Devotion. And the main of the offenses is to blaspheme the devotees. And she, as far as I know, she never did that. And then later, of course, I heard that she was not just taking care of Tulsi. She used to be a very big collector also on Sankirtan. She used to do huge, huge collections. We probably couldn't live here if it wasn't without her. She worked very hard. And then when she became older, she just did a very humble service, taking care of Tulsi. And like I said, as far as all the devotees are concerned, she went back to Godhead. So yeah, we can take her example, and there's so many other examples we can take. Mahajan Oyena Katasa Panta, we should follow in the footsteps of the Mahajans. Srila Prabhupada is there, so many gurus are there. There's this book, Many, Many Moons, so many big Vaishnavas, they left their bodies, and this is an example. There's so many other books of Vaishnavis that devotees are convinced that they went back to Godhead, and this is all documented. There's many books like that. You can read about it. So, of course, if you read about them, they're very, very serious devotees. So, yeah, we have to become. I think the main thing actually that we have to become, and I'm very much struggling with that, is we have to become sincere. That is actually all we need to become. But it's for most of us, at least for me, it's difficult. And gradually, especially if we keep in ISKCON, because that's what Prabhupada's saying, you know, you should not leave ISKCON. Keep in ISKCON and just some other, try to tolerate. And sometimes it might feel, tolerate the false ego of the other devotee. Then we'll get purified. And we have to see that it's Krishna. Krishna is acting through the devotees and he's just purifying us from our own anarthas. So thank you very much for listening. And if there's some question about mode of goodness or anything else, please feel free. We can have some discussion. Yes. Yeah, it's an interesting point. Yeah, where are all those monkeys from Lord Ramachandra? I don't know. I don't know what happened. They were here, that we know. Yeah. I really don't know. Yes? Yeah, what happened actually is that in America, which is a very God-fearing country, is that the religionists, they were not very happy with Darwin's theory and they attacked him. So it was somewhere in the south of America, the southern states, they had this court case. they sued him, or they sued his theory, and somebody defended it. And yeah, the thing is, they defended it from the Bible, and the Bible is a little bit of a mystical book, and some things are not very clearly explained, and they lost the court case. So from that day on, actually, it kind of took off, this whole Darwinistic theory. So yeah, I was actually thinking that we should reopen that case, either artificially on a television show or something. We can reenact it, or we should actually open the case, because I think with the Bhagavatam, and especially with the help of the Bhaktivinoda Institute, I think we have a very good case. And like Prabhu was saying, Darwin is just a theory, and this is a much better theory. And that is all actually that we want to show the public. It's not so much that we want to defeat the scientists or convince the scientists. It's more that we want to challenge them, so that the general public can see that this theory is much more scientific than the so-called theory of Darwin. So we need to actually, sooner or later, challenge the scientists in the open arena. I mean, it's in the public arena, on television, and challenge them. And yeah, maybe it's a good idea that we should open this court case. And make sure that we win it, of course. So yeah, that's a good point. What I also heard is that he also was doubting. He was actually a God-fearing person, and at the end of his life, he felt that he did a disservice. Sometimes devotees, they make a joke that Druta Karma, he's heading up the Bhaktivinoda Institute. Sometimes devotees joke around that he was Darwin in his previous life, and that he's making up for the mess he made. I don't know if that's true. Who knows? Still, he's doing a great service. And yeah, if you're more interested in the subject, then I recommend you read some of his books or from his colleague, the late Sariputta Prabhu, who also wrote many books about this subject matter. Having said everything, I think the main thing that we should be concerned about reading these things is that, you know, don't act like a monkey. Don't go back to the monkey life, either in this life or in the next, and become very very sincere, and it's called Sankirtan Yajna. So Krishna Prabhu gave a very nice kirtan, and if we do this Sankirtan Yajna, like in September we have a Sankirtan Yajna in Germany, the beginning of September. About 1,000 devotees are expected, and that is very powerful. And if you really participate in those kind of kirtans, then all these things, sex desire, desire for intoxication, desire for gambling, desire for meat eating, it will just go away. It will just be a memory in the back of your mind, and it will just dissipate. So yeah, the main medicine is this chanting together. So the more we can do that, the better it is. And of course, discussing philosophy together, and trying to change your rounds together with the devotees and Tulsi Devi, all those things. It's a very scientific process. All those things that help. And like I said, you know, you might deviate once in a while, but try to put the airplane back on track. And yeah, Prabhupada says at least chant your 60 rounds. You'll see if you deviate and you just keep chanting your 60 rounds, it will be like a red thread through your life, and it will be okay. You'll just come back and you continue. So don't worry too much about, you know, offenses or this and that. Just keep chanting. Of course, if you feel you did make an offense, try to apologize. Try to give maybe a gift even. Prabhupada says this movement was made for giving prasadam, receiving prasadam, giving gifts, receiving gifts, and all deity worship worshipping the deity and engaging others to worship the deity, like we're doing here with the tour program. So these six loving exchanges are very important. So the more we can do those exchanges, the better it will be for us and for the whole society. So I'll stop there. Oh, one last question. Thank you. Yeah, no, that's a good point. We don't really see this as a theory. It's just that what I was trying to explain, if we go in a public arena, people might see it like that. They might see, oh, you have the Darwin theory and you have the theory of the Hare Krishnas. So which one should we choose? So like that, I was trying to explain that. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, that was my point. So you have the Darwin theory, and then, you know, from their perspective, you have the Hare Krishna theory, so that they can choose. But you're correct. We should not really present it as a theory, because it's called Au Parusham, right? It's Apurashaya. It's not from humans, this knowledge. It's coming down from Krishna and like that. We have a whole disciplic succession. It's listed in Bhagavad Gita. And it's Auparushaya. This Bhagavatam is eternal knowledge. So that's a very important point that people understand it, that it's not really a theory. Thank you. Okay. Oh, now it's getting really exciting. Yeah. Yeah, what did I say? Well, yeah, it's true what you're saying. It's explained in Bhagavatam that we start from Lord Brahma. What I understood is that, like you said, we go for the whole experience. So somehow or other, we go all the way down. That's how I understood it. I don't know if that's true. Maybe it's not always true, because sometimes you say Lord Brahma becomes a pure devotee. So that's just how I had it explained to me, that we want to go for the full experience, we go all the way down, and then we come up again. So it's a little bit like, you know, sometimes people say we come from the Brahma Jyoti. You know, yes, we come maybe from the Brahma Jyoti, but we have to see where we came before that. So similarly, I can say we come from the aquatics, but like you said, there was something also before that. Like I can say I come from Paris, you know, but, you know, ultimately I came from Amsterdam. I was born in Amsterdam, so it's like that. So it's good to clarify it. Yes? Oh, you mean in the museum? Oh. Right. Yeah, that's very encouraging. Thank you. Yeah, we have many books, huh? I mean, it's good to distribute Prabhupada's books. And sometimes when you meet someone like that, you can give both, but it's good also to give these scientific books that Bruta Karma wrote and his colleague Saraputra. It's good to keep that in mind, you know. So I think we'll stop there. Have some breakfast. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sisi Radha Gopinath ki jai, Go Premanande, Hari Hari Bol.